You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Lord, honor yourself by thy word, by your presence, by your grace. Thank you very much. So here we are, God, representing the body and our God believers, and for the sick and all of it. And we think of Gladys and each one with all the different needs and problems and the virus and flu and everything else. So God, here we are. Thank you that we can be assembled in your presence. It is our privilege. It is our obligation as believers. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, John chapter 16, and the Lord is going through the has gone through 13, 14, 15, 16, and said and prepared his disciples for what's ahead and given them wonderful, wonderful truth, which can only happen in God's grace. And we read in chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we shared that together. And God leaves them with a wonderful, wonderful sense that they are going to be able to succeed. They don't have to fail. They don't have to do foolish things. They can be able to proceed down the corridor of time, representing him, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, being his witnesses. Now, having said that, so therefore, to look at it in a way that may help us, he, God, in his wonderful grace, he had to be what he was. He had to be what he was. That is, the baby. He had to be what he was. He was a baby. In order to do what he did, there's no way he can go to the cross as God, but in his perfect humanity, by way of the baby, the man, he could. He had to be what he was in order to do what he did. But he had to do what he did, to die and rise again, in order that he might be who he is. Who he is. In order, I'll do it again if you help. He had to be what he was, baby, in order to do what he did, to die. But he had to do what he did, that is, die and rise again, in order to be who he is. Who he is. What he is, Savior, etc., and who he is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that's what he had to be. He had to make possible for us to know him, who he is. That's what he did. It wasn't about giving you something or having something or making something happen. It was to know who he is. And add to that, history, human history, Israel being the example in this case, all of us humans, but Israel, especially when it comes to law. And we can't, the law demands a righteousness. The law demands the righteousness that God requires. And Israel and no one can live up to that, can achieve it. So the law finds us guilty, condemned, And when we go from the law to the life of God in Christ, we can't mimic it, we can't copy it, we can't do as he did, we can't do that. So when it comes to the law, and comes to the life, comes to the love, you can't do it. The law condemns us. His life condemns us. So we can't achieve it in ourselves by works, law. And we can't mimic it and copy like he does. You can't do that. So we're condemned and guilty, leaving us with nothing. And God, in his wonderful grace, as we shared, had to become a baby in order to do what he did, to die, in order to be what he did and to make possible by way of his resurrection who he is to us. Not what he can give us, who he is. Now with that in mind, John chapter 17. And you'd recall, we shared together before Christmas and that, God is the giver of the gift. The gift is the baby. God gives himself in the baby. That's what he does. He's presenting himself in a way that we can adjust to and relate to, a baby. And he did that. So the gift is the gift that God gives. Over to Romans in chapter 6. And the gift that he gives us, straightway, easy to see it, and you know it, verse 23, for the wages of sin, the cost that we're guilty, we can't produce the righteousness, the life, righteous life that God lived, we can't produce that. The law demands righteousness, we can't honor that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is the gift himself. And we shared that before Christmas. He's the promised lamb to be slain on behalf of the sin of the world. So, and all the gifts of God are found in God himself. So, God, you're going to present to us, you rose again to present to us who you are. That's right, so we could know you. And in knowing you, that you are going to be to us all that you are. All that we aren't, you're going to be all that we are. All that we aren't, you're going to be to us all that we need. You're going to be to us. Who's going to be to us? Our strength, our health, our wealth, our power, our victory. Who's going to be it? God said, I am. I am. How about a little strength, a little power? No, I am the power. I am the life. I am the love. I want you to know me. We're in his presence to know. Hang on. Now, so in the light of that, and we shared together one other thing that will help us, to remind us, back over to John chapter 1. In the light of his death, burial, and resurrection, and believers, people need to believe. In order to believe, if you believe the meal in front of you is edible, then you will take and eat the meal. That's if you believe it. But you could believe or accept, believe in a way that I believe it's a meal, I believe the meal is for me, and never eat it. And we share that. We don't want, God doesn't say, if you accept me as your Savior, you need to receive me. We shared all that. It's important because we're tending our human nature. Where human nature is there. In the law, we can't do it, but we're busy trying to do and be. We're trying to be, I want to be a good person. I want to be good and care. Okay? You want to be good and care. How good is good? And how do you do the good? When you've got an old nature that isn't going to honor it. No, it isn't. You can do whatever and you can do it, and part of that's works. But where's the rightness that the law requires? God requires rightness, perfect rightness. I can't do that because I'm so full of my old nature that my old nature is there from top stem to stern, top to bottom, head to toe. It's there. So there's no way my old nature can come up with rightness. I say, well, I'm back good today. I said the right thing. What about the 98, 99% of you that didn't, that you don't even know about? And remember, we shared those things so many times over the years. I think Einstein only used, they said, 2% of his brain. And he got the other 98%. So here we are in our little life, and we got a whole life full. This full, and we have this sentence comes out of our mouth, this little sentence. This sentence is surrounded by all of us, all the inside of us that isn't. So I, no matter how much I can make this sentence perfect and caring, I can't change any of this. I can try and try and try, and I can't do it. So what do we need to do? Long way around to say, what did you say, God? John 1 and verse 12, you know. Verse 11, he came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, 1:11, John 1:11, and his own received him not. They would not receive him. They would not receive him. Like you receive the meal, receive water, you receive. Verse 12, but in contrast, the Jews didn't at that time, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, right, privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So you've got to receive. And when you receive him as your Savior, remember he rose again? He rose again in order that he could be to you who he is. Why did he rise again? To be to us who he is. That's what he rose again for. To be to us. We're in his presence. Who he is. That's what he's there for. And we need to receive him. That's what he did. Make it possible. A relationship. Like this. Here's Paul and that. You guys. And we receive each other right now. Right now. So there we are. Like it or not. There we are. Receive each other. I receive him. Just like I see you, I receive him. That's what what's being saved is. God made it possible for me to know him. God said, John 20, remember, blessed is he to Thomas that can't see me. You will, but you can't. God, so it's to see, to know. God, thank you. How many people, that's what it means to be saved, to know. Now, so therefore, verse 16, as you know, and of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. So God received, same verb, what have we got to receive? Grace. And where is the grace? Verse 14, and the word was made flesh, God became flesh, and blood born in Bethlehem of Judea, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as only begotten of the Father. And what about him? He is full of grace and truth. That's who he is. Back down to verse 16. Where are we going to get the grace? We receive him as he is. When you receive him, he's full of grace. grace, in place of grace. Every day, every hour, every minute, you need God's wonderful what? You need God to be God. That's what grace is. Grace says works are out. God must do it all. So God enable us to outwork it. We walk by faith, not by sight. You enable us to be able to go down the corridor of time to get there. Who does? You do. That's how we're going to get there. We aren't going to get there any other way. So God, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We need to be receivers. We're receiving strength. We're receiving. Where are we getting it from? When you receive Christ as your Savior in your heart, He's providing. Who's providing? God is the gift for all the gifts, for all that comes. So where's it all coming from? God. Where's it coming from? And as you know, eternal life. Now, we could make over to John 17 again. And you would recall in John chapter 17, it's his prayer. Now remember now, this is if you're going to say the Lord's Prayer, this would be the place to say it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Our Father, you'll pray after this manner, Our Father who art in heaven, etc. That's the disciples' prayer. They were told to do that under those conditions, there it was. For us, we pray without, we have a relationship that is to be uninterrupted. Pray without ceasing, without interruption. But that's the disciples' prayer. The Lord did not pray that prayer, so when you don't want to say, tradition, churches, they say in unison, Our Father who art in heaven, etc., and they do that. But that's the disciples' prayer. That's not the Lord's prayer. And that's fine for where context and everything, but we have a whole advanced state past that. Now, so therefore, here's the prayer, and we share that together. These words, verse 1, 17, 1. Spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. So God is, how is the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity going to glorify God? By doing what he was told to do. He was told in his perfect humanity to go to the cross and die. That's why he was born. That's why he came. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in perfect harmony with God, is going to glorify God. He's going to honor God's will and God's way for God's glory, which benefits us in a most wonderful way. So therefore, verse 2, as thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, to have eternal life in such a wonderful way. But to have eternal life in the person, the gift of God is eternal life. You read in John 6, 23, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And here in verse 2, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then we share together, verse 3, and now, having said eternal life, and this is life eternal, what is it? That he might know thee, that they might know thee? No, to know thee. To know the object. God knows us, and we know him. We have a relationship. That we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we're to have a unique relationship to God, in a most wonderful way. That's why he rose again, to make the relationship possible. What is the relationship? What is eternal life? It's God. That's what eternal life is. What's physical life? Physical life is what you have, your heart beats and your function. and you eat, drink, and go to work and school and do all those things, you have that physical life. And you have physical life as long as your heart pumps and stays alive and healthy. And then you don't have physical life anymore. You're called death. That's called death. Uh-huh. Well, what's eternal life? It's a relationship to God, to the breathing, back to breathing. I stop breathing, I die. How did I find eternal life? By believing, receiving the Lord as my Savior. He rose again, so I know who He is. Who is He? He's eternal. He's eternal life. Eternal life is to know you, God. That's what it is. It's to know you. It's a relationship. Like I said, here we are. Well, the trouble is with God, you and I can leave each other and go our ways for many reasons. But you don't do that with God. Your relationship to God is like this. In, out, up, down, wherever you go. It's a relationship. That's called eternal life. That is. You want to know what life is? It's Him. Where's the fountain of youth? We're going to go there in a minute. Fountain of youth. Ponce de Leon or whatever where they are. All trying to find the fountain of youth, you know. Wow. To be able not to die, not to get old. But you have to. Because flesh and blood can what? Isaiah 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God doesn't want it. God crucified. No good. No good. So therefore, this is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And you would know in the process of that eternal life that God, and as it is in chapter 17 and verse 3, the present tense, this right now is eternal life, in order that the result, purpose, that you might know Jesus Christ, and that you might know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So God, you have made it possible to know you in a most wonderful way. 1 John chapter 5, and you can do it just for the exercise and keep you awake. Chapter 5, you know it. But just put it together. 1 John chapter 5. That's what it means to be saved. What's it mean to be a Christian? First John chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 11. And this is the record, testimony, 5:11, 1 John. This is the record, the testimony, that God hath given to us eternal life. Okay? And this life is in His Son. Therefore, understand, verse 12, he then that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either have the Son or you don't. What is eternal life? It's God. To know God, the Son. That's what eternal life is. A relationship to God. Say, I read the Bible and I never talk to God. And now I don't know God's somewhere out there and somewhere and whatever. And, oh, but where's your relationship? Well, I'm going to go to heaven. That's wonderful, but that isn't why you get saved. You get saved that God can, you can know Him. That's why you get saved. You don't get saved to save you from depression, disease, and disappointment, all those. You get saved to have life. You're dead in sins. So God, you do a wonderful thing and save us in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And so God, in His saving grace, in His wonderful, wonderful grace, goes and saves us. And therefore, it is a glorious thing that God does, because God's going to glorify Himself. Back to what we said, God gives a gift. The gift is Himself. God gives gifts. The gifts are Himself. Himself. He is the gift. What's He the gift of? Life. He is life. What is life? 24 hours a day, you live it. You live it. Go to sleep, get up, eat, drink, work, home, school, play. That's what you do. That's called living your life. What do? God gives us a life, a relationship, and we live it. At work, at home, school, much, little, having sickness, health, all of those things. And we live the life. What life? His life. The relationship to God. You enjoy the relationship to God that is untouchable. I said that the other day with someone that's getting serious operation here, like Gladys. And that, and reminded her, what? There's no way they can interrupt your life. The most you could happen is you could die, and that's nothing, actually. But in the process, you have life, uninterrupted. The clock, the calendar, a new year, there is no new year to your life. There is no new year to your life if you're saved. There is no next year in your life. There is no next minute in your life. It's all done. It's called what? Instantly, eternal life. How can it instantly be eternal life? Because it's God is your life, the uncreated life of God. He's given you a relationship to Him, Himself, who's eternal. That's what He did. Called eternal life. And that's what we're supposed to be living. That's what the church is. The church bears testimony to His wonderful, wonderful person. That's why we come and try to be a good example, showing God's wonderful truth and God's wonderful word in his most awesome way. So that's how we're going to go and overcome all that needs to be overcome. And God, You've given us this wonderful, wonderful life in a most wonderful way. Now, and to lock it in again, it has to be. Now, it's his Christianity, being a Christian, God is very all alone. There's no other God, no other Savior. He's the only Creator that created us. So there is no other God. There is no other way. Broad is the way, and wide, and many go down the road. That's true, but you can't get to God. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, to the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. What is eternal life? It's God. How do we get to eternal life? By God. What is eternal life? God. Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, you'll recall, again, if I can, I'll read verse 25, 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He that hath the Son hath life. Where's the life? In the Son of God, in God. Where's the gift? In God. Where's the gifts? In God. Where's everything in God? That's what's there. That's Christianity. That's what the Bible. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is, I just did it. He was what He was. He had to do what He did. He had to do what He did to make possible for us that which is impossible, to know Him. That's what it's about. It isn't about going to heaven. It isn't about having a nice trip down on planet Earth. No, it's to know God. That's why Romans chapter 1, etc., same word. The human race doesn't want to know God personally like that. They just don't want to know. It isn't about his death, his all those wonderful things of gospel and death and the cross and all that. All of that's wonderfully true. But they don't want to know about that person. I don't want to know that person. I'll know God's, little g, pantheism and all the other isms and stuff. And God's, I have all of my illusions about God is this, and God is in the trees, and God's in the tuna fish, and everything. Wow, wow, wow. We have everything you want. We don't want to know God. We don't want to know God like that. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, so God the Son, it's his wonderful, wonderful purpose to make known his wonderful, wonderful life, that we might know. We might know with the result that we know. We know him. We know him in a most awesome and wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, all of you would please to see it again, why not, over to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 43, picking up if I can. So we're able to know God in a most wonderful way. It's an awesome thing to know God. A person. Person. You know, you have a person, your family, father, mother, brother, sisters, husband, wife, all those. All of those require a person, don't they? They require another person to make the relationship. You can use mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, but that takes, in order to say it, you've got to have another person. You can't do it without another person. A sister, I got to have a sister. I have to have a human sister, you see. God, so God, we have to have that wonderful relationship and that you make possible in a most wonderful way. Isaiah, if I can, and in verse chapter 43, picking up as you would know, if I can, in verse 10, why not? Chapter 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Now the purpose, hey, we read this, just I know the verse. Now what's it say? I have chosen Israel for the what kind of purpose? That they may know and believe me. That's why I chose them. To know me and believe me. That's why I chose them. Did Israel choose to know and believe? No. As a nation, no. Historically, no. As they should, as they would, as they will. Therefore, and, in verse 10, and understand what? That I am he. I am that I am. I am who I am. That's what he said. I am who I am. I am. So we're back to what? You get your Bible, you got all your thoughts and brains and comes and go, but we're in his presence. We're in his presence to know him. To know him. How? By receiving his Son as a Savior. How can I understand this infinite God? Everything is outside of God. Everything is inside. There is nothing outside of God in forever. Galaxies are all just a drop in the bucket in the middle of them, middle of God, as it were. So God, here we are looking, and we're to know you. And how are we going to know? By being, I was born in Bethlehem, Judea, was rose again, and I made it so that you could understand very personally. He's arisen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the risen Christ, Savior, seated, so that, seated, I see that, seated, my right hand, I got that, so that God, in his infinite being, I can deal with it. I can deal with it because Christ is like me, like us, to be able to talk and walk and believe. We're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. That's what we're going to be. That's what it's about. It's an awesome thing. Now, people don't want that. No, no. May I pick up, please, again, in verse 10, I'll read it. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There isn't any. There isn't any. I'm it. See? That's it. Well, what? Nope, there he, what am I do? What am I going to do with you, God? Oh, I can't see you, can't smell you, can't touch you, can't do anything, I don't hear you. You've given us thy word to hear and to know. That's why you recorded the prayer, so that all the disciples could record it and put it in John. The whole chapter of John 17 can be read by us, that which is written. So God, here we are looking to you to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts, all of church history. And to, these are 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and 14. I know you know these. All I'm trying to do is drive home the point so you don't leave the pieces out that make the picture clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you would guess, right so. 1 Corinthians 14. May I go directly to verse 23. If therefore, this is the assembled body of believers like us, only back then in Corinth. If therefore the whole church, 14:23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, 1 Corinthians. And all speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, they don't believe. Will they not say they are mad? They don't understand. It doesn't make sense to them. But if all prophesy and exercise God's word in truth, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and judged of all the believers that they are being believers. All believers are supposed to be knowing God and honoring God. Amen. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, public, clear, plain, simple. To falling down on his face, he will worship God. The unsaved man said, hey, and report to the neighbors, his friends, his family, as he wishes, that God is in you of a truth. And we've shared that 7,000 times, that God is in you. That's what they got. It wasn't the music, it wasn't the pictures on the wall, it wasn't the overhead screen, it wasn't the choir, it wasn't the worship team and all the other stuff out there. No, it wasn't. It's just God. Why? But what is eternal life? They are believers that have a relationship to God. They were assembled in God's presence to enjoy God's wonderful presence. And God being everything to us, here we are. Wow, that's who we are. So what'd you get? What'd you get when you went to, they were talking about God. They know God. That's what it's about. About the person of God. Not the person of Christ. Because Christ is God. It's God. It's an awesome thing. You know, Galatians 1:24 and all that. Paul is going to say, what did the believers say about Paul who got saved on the Damascus Road? What did they say? Of a truth, 1:24, Galatians, of a truth, God is in you. Not Christ, not God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, there's no way to the Father except by me. I'm the only way. It's exclusive. There is no other way. There is no other system. There is no other words. There are no other books. The only book is the Bible. Fortunately, the only one like it in all of the world. Wow. That's wonderful. So, God, here we are looking. Therefore, would you go with me, please, in the light of all of that? And you're looking. And hope. It's the fountain of youth. The fountain of youth. And that has been pursued in different ways, in all kinds of different ways, to try to live longer, to try to prolong your life. Eat Cheerios three times a day and jump over the hoop six and do several other things, and you'll be able to live longer, you know. And if you eat this special food, this will give you wonderful energy, the fine print, you could get sick and die. You know, the fine print about everything. Everything's wonderful, but the fine print. Read the fine print, you know. You know, I have one drug I got, doctor gave it to me. I read it. It said for women, don't give it to women because it's deadly for them. I said, man, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that stuff. And I never did. I never took it. That's why I'm so sick. What can I tell you? I wouldn't take it. God, what are you saying? Well, over if you would. Hope. What hope? What hope do you have? We shared all these things. I'm trying to be realistic. What's the new year? I better have some understanding or something, because what's happening, look at our own set with all the sickness and everything. Wow. And who knows if it's ever going to let up, because they want to keep it going. It's a wonderful system for political power. And they aren't going to let it go away. Not easily, that's for sure. So, what's the next 10 years of my life going to be like if the Lord tarries? Well, where's my hope? My hope. It isn't in evolution. It isn't in unbelief. It isn't in my system. It isn't in my family. It isn't in my relationships to mother, father, brother, sister, or my work. I'm going to retire. So you retire, and what? Retire and then die. Well, you can do all of those things. And all of those things, but there's no hope. The fountain of youth. How am I going to get hope? How am I going to extend my life? Wow. God? So, how? Okay. Over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. So remember, we aren't talking, the relationship is with the person of God. That's eternal life, the living. Your physical heart, your breathing, and all the body is functioning in all of its different systems. And that's why you have physical life. We have spiritual life. We're saved. Now, God, eternal life is to know God. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope, anticipation for expectation, assured expectation. It's a sure thing. I anticipate and expect that which is God has said is going to be. What is it? I have a relationship to God. In hope, verse 2, of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Remember the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So we did all those things. Chapter 3, if I can. Picking it up again. Verse 7. That being justified by his grace, 3 and 7, that we be made heirs, joint heirs, Romans 8, joint heirs, according to the hope, the wonderful expectancy, anticipation of what are we hoping for? Eternal life. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for eternal life. What's our hope? Our hope is eternal life. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully eternal life. Wow. Over, if we can, to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 6. And you will note the hope, like expectation. Wonderful, wonderful expectation. That's what drives us forward. Hope. The hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. I got that. The hope. Have hope of eternal life. Okay, hang on. Chapter 6, Hebrews, verse 18. That by two immutable things, promise and oath of God, in which it was impossible for God to lie, he can't lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, the hope. Hope of eternal life. Verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul to keep us from drifting and shifting and getting way off base. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, like a ship, both sure and steadfast during the storm, which entereth into that within the veil. In the veil. So the gods, we're anchored in God's wonderful heaven. How are we anchored in God's wonderful heaven? Who's seated at the right hand of God? The perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. That's where it's talking. That's why Ephesians 2, you're seated, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, you're seated in heavenly places because He is. He is. What's life? It's a relationship. It's a relationship. But He is, I am. See? It's the way it is. I can't be without Him. He can't be without me. Or without you, if you're saved. Wow. Now, verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, locked into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Priesthood that doesn't change. Priesthood has no beginning and no end. Like we did in Sunday school, rest. Seventh day, no beginning and no end, no morning and no evening. Wonderful rest God gives us. Now, in the light of Hebrews. Now, having said that, in closing, simply then, this hope, this wonderful hope is eternal life. And we're anchored. It's anchored in God's wonderful heaven. And the Son of God in His wonderful, perfect humanity, resurrected body, in all of His deity, is seated there. And in the meantime, God, Colossians 1. Look at it even though you know it. Colossians chapter 1. What is this awesome mystery? Awesome mystery. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Riches of the glory of what? This mystery. What's a thing to be understood among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is your hope. He is eternal life to know Him. Hope, the hope of eternal life. You're carrying the eternal life in Christ, who is the hope. See, I don't have to look for the hope out there. That's why I'm going to get down the corridor of time. That's why you're going to do and be and trust God. If you know Him as your Savior, you're going to grow up and, wow, because it's true. Wonderfully true. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Eternal life. He is eternal life. It's a personal thing. If you have a hard time talking, being personal, that makes it hard being a believer, doesn't it? If you can't be personal, intimate, in a good way, when it's proper and right, you've got a problem trying to get to God. A lot of dear people got that, I'm independent, and you can't do that. You got to submit, you got to yield, you got to be brought in. Well, I don't want to do that. Then you don't have a relationship. You don't enjoy it, you know. Jeanette, she's trying to get a little better, as a lot of people are, with the flu. And so she got tested, just so you know. We went to that big long line. I didn't do it. They did. Big long line of cars down the street to get a spit test. Do you understand what it is? And she did it twice. To say, I said, you know, don't do that dumb thing. Get it, have it, and get it over with, you know. And if you want me to share it, you can try, you know. Well, what can I tell you? Get it over with. Get it over with, you know. So all of that, and you get caught up. I got the spit test, and I forgot what I was going to say, because I shouldn't have said the spit test. Saliva, you see. The saliva test. Wow. You got it? It's a wonderful thing. It's a relationship. Exercise it. It's a person. And when you have the person, it makes a difference. If we would but stay with it, we wouldn't get all set, all get thrown out of whack. We wouldn't do it because we're in the presence of God. And that's a relationship we have. How far are you? How far is my needs? How far away are they? They aren't. God is my need. God answers my need. God does it all. I don't need to look to anyone or anything. He is it. What is he? He's your life. From stem to stern, top to bottom, he's your life. Enjoy it. If it would change, I'm telling you, it would change us. It doesn't because we, not you guys, of course, but you don't do it. We got to pray. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you for bearing with me. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And our Father, we just, system, we get tied up in churchianity and the system and churches and how to worship and how to do this. And God, we miss the whole thing. God, we miss it. It was you to be able to come together as a body of believers and let you be and understand that you are our God and Savior, and that we have wonderful relationship to you. Your love, your law, your love, your law, your life. God, thanks. God, for those who know that you're not as not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them, help them to know you. Help all the dear sick people and everything. God, it's just little old us out here. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.